that up while that you do your intro.
Okay.
And just you can have a look. Just make sure you're listening because she's got good stuff to say.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to get the barbecue going. Is that cool? It's the last one ever.
All right. So this is the last one. Aren't we doing it tonight? We are doing it tonight. So it's not the last one ever, but it is the last one ever here. Are you ready to slaughter our final sacrificial thing? I'm not going to say what it is. Probably can't remember anyway. How are you all? You well? You ready for a great morning? Yeah? Gee, this sounds loud. It's not just me, is it? It is loud. It is loud. Welcome to church. Ben's going to get the barbecue on so we can get this thing happening. Master barbecuer that he is. Now, I will forget to turn the meat, so I need you to yell out, it's burning. Okay? Oh, yes, the prize. Now, Colway. This is so special. I've never even heard of that brand. That must be one of those imported ones. This, my friends, is something you don't want to go home without today. Colway squeezy barbecue sauce. Now, have we got the little slips to hand out, please? Okay, have we run out? If you've got paper, you can write it on any old paper. Ooh, look at it. It looks pink. It won't look like that for long. I'm cooking. The prize today is the Colway. Don't let me forget to award that at the end of the day. We'll leave it there so it looks all beautiful. I feel like I should be on an infomercial. Squirrel? I thought they were protected. Really? Shh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. All right. Now, just before I start, we do have some more exciting stuff coming up. Don't forget, Toronto Leaders Vision Night tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Be here. Also, the car wash, Saturday, 8 till 2. We're going to be here. We have sent out media releases to every radio station, every newspaper, every publication, everyone we could possibly find in the Lake Macquarie and Newcastle region. So we are expecting people to turn up. We're going to not only have a car wash where we're blessing people washing their cars just because we can, but we're also going to be having a cafe where we're making the best coffee, serving the best cakes and bickies and whatever else we can come up with, all for free. Because we can. Because we love our community and we want to serve. So I know every single one of you will want to be involved in some way. Please, please let me know. You can be here. I don't expect you here for the whole time if you can't give it. Would love you to be here from 8 to 2. But if you can only give an hour, I'd love an hour. So who's going to be involved? You ready for that? We're going to serve our community and we're going to be a blessing. I love being part of Good Life. I love being part of the best church in this area. I love serving our community. You know, so often we do things and we attach strings. This is a car wash. This is Good Life. Good stuff. Project number 2. No strings attached. Yay. All right. How good was Australia Day? We gave out in excess of 1,000 tattoos at both locations. We had people, we were walking up and just giving them and doing it because we could. We had kids who were just over the moon. We met families. Thank you so much, everyone who turned up and gave a hand. You're awesome. Give yourselves a pat on the back because you are indeed awesome. That is cooking very fast. Is that on very low? Very low. Okay, I've got to talk fast, so are you ready? Let's pray. Father God, as we just dive into your word today, I ask that your anointing will be upon me. Father God, that every word I speak will come from your very heart. Lord, that it will go into the places in our lives that it needs to go to make change. Father God, I ask for revelation. I ask that you will just expose to people wrong thinking. Father, as we slaughter this sacred cow, I ask, Lord, that we kill it for good. That once and for all it will be gone and that we'll be set free to respond to you out of relationship and not out of religion in Jesus' name. Well, I'm excited. I was really excited about this last week and I wasn't well, so I said to God, well, God, I really prepared for this and I'm really excited about it. So if you want to if you want this message out, I'll get another opportunity. And guess what I did? So I'm excited. I'm excited. We're going to slaughter today. Do you like to slaughter? Technically, no, I don't, but I do like to kill things. I love to kill spiders. I probably don't like cows because they're too messy. But in this situation where it's a spiritual sacred cow, give me the knife because I want to go. I want to kill this thing because once and for all, I want to see us as a people set free. Now, we're going to slaughter the sacred cow of pop culture today. Woohoo! Now, what's pop culture? Literally, popular culture. It means our culture, the culture we live in. And how are we going to slaughter that? Well, there's two different areas where pop culture becomes a sacred cow in a Christian's life. It can be the sacred cow of don't let pop culture anywhere near you. You must live totally isolated. Or it can be the sacred cow that's totally the other end of the scale, which says we must embrace everything and there's nothing about us that should be different. Both of them are incredibly wrong. And today I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to show you why and you're going to discover for yourself how to be or not to be culturally relevant. This is the question. Okay, I want to read you something. I've been doing a lot of research. I love it. I love finding what other people say and what other people think. I love hearing what other people think and why they think it. I found people who said that if you, as a Christian, go anywhere near culture, anywhere near being relevant, then you are basically the devil's spawn. And I love it. I love it. I thought, it's going to kill that cow. And then I found other ones that basically said that everything to do with the Bible is so archaic that as a relevant Christian today, you just need to be totally absorbed in culture. And I thought, it's going to kill that sacred cow too. In his classic work, Christ and Culture, published in 1951, H. Richard Niebuhr, a prominent Christian ethicist, asserted that the relationship between earnest followers of Jesus Christ and human culture has been an enduring problem. How should believers who are disciplining themselves for the purpose of godliness, like it says in 1 Timothy 4:7, relate to a world whose culture is dominated by lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life? You know, culture is God's gift and task for human beings created in his image and likeness. Humanity received a cultural mandate from God. In Genesis, he said, "This earth is ours to have dominion of, to subdue." Correct? That is what Genesis says. That is the mandate over our lives. So somehow, somewhere, if we're not out there as part of the world, if we're not setting some sort of culture, then we are actually failing the mandate given by God himself. Sin's effects are total and culture has been corrupted through rebellion, idolatry and immorality. That's the truth. We are who we are as fallen human beings because of sin. Culture is what it is because of sin. Culture itself is not a demon. It doesn't have a life of its own. Culture is the life of fallen humans outworked en masse. As people who are no longer fallen, as people who are freed from sin, as people who have been made righteous, therefore, we shouldn't be living that fallen culture en masse. We should be living the culture that God has placed in our hearts. And as we do that, that's how we become all that God's called us to be. We're not called to be religious. We're not called to legalism. We're not called to separate ourselves so far from the world that they look at us and think, oh, freak. We're not called to do that. We're still human. You're fully human, but fully Christian, fully justified by Christ. So you've got to find that place that only you can find. No one else can tell you how to find it. You've got to be right with God, and you've got to be effective in your world. If you look like a weirdo, nobody is going to be attracted to Christ. So how should Christians who've been redeemed not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with precious blood as of lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, live in relation to culture? According to Jesus, we're to be in the world, but not of it. Notice it says be in the world. It doesn't say be out of the world and out of it. It says be out in the world, but not of it. In other words, don't be a child of the world, be a child of God. Open your Bibles with me. Let's have a look at John chapter 17. I am reading from the Message, so don't get confused. Have a listen to this, starting in verse 12. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me. And they have now done what you said. They know beyond shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is first hand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it, and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they're yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so that they can be one heart, one mind, as we are one heart and one mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them. In the pursuit of the life you gave me, I even posted a night watch, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proved to be the rule of Scripture. And now here's where it gets juicy. Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. But I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way you gave me a mission to the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake so they'll be truth consecrated in the mission. Jesus said we're to be in the world, but not of it. So how can you be in the world and not of it? How are you in the world but not of it? How are you making sure that you are culturally relevant? I know when I first became a Christian, things were a little bit different than they are now. It wasn't that long ago, but it's amazing how things change. And I felt like God said to me, turn off the TV, stop reading magazines, stop reading newspapers, stop everything. Because there was something in me that was just so filthy, I needed a lot of cleaning out. I was very mixed up. But that was for a season. And that season was for God to do what God wanted to do in me. And as time went on, I found that God slowly allowed me to let things filter back into my life. For a long while, I didn't watch TV. I only watched Christian stuff because I literally needed to be brainwashed. I needed my brain washed. I was a mess. And unless I learned how to think differently, I was going to stay a mess. And there's a season that God may call you to do that. But if you do that for the rest of your life, you will become so irrelevant so quickly. You will become so weird that I wouldn't call you a Christian at all. Ooh, hear the cow sizzle. I wouldn't call you a Christian. I'll turn it. Jen says it's time to turn. Oh, I don't know if I can. All right. No one's going to want to wear this one. It's looking good. I don't even know what that is. Smells good, though. Love a good barbecue. So in what way are we called to be in the world? how a believer is supposed to act in relation to the crooked and perverse generation that surrounds them. Over the centuries, various Christian communities have developed alternative perspectives. There's a group of people who were fundamentalists called Anabaptists, and they believed that they advocated a complete rejection of culture. The liberalist movements went completely the opposite and have promoted a more or less uncritical acceptance. Neither refers to those groups as Christ against culture and Christ of culture. The first group promotes Christ but tends to denigrate culture. The second group denigrates Christ but promotes culture. But both are unbalanced. Churches of the centre, which is what we are, seek to do justice to both Christ and culture through, though they explain the difference, different ways. I'll need to read this because it's really interesting. Catholics, for example, tend to view the gospel as the completion of culture. In other words, despite positive contributions humans make, our human enterprises always fall short of divine intentions and must be fulfilled by God's gracious work of redemption in Christ through the church. Grace, according to this tradition, rejects nature, perfects nature. Christ is above culture and completes it. So that's the Catholic Church. Lutheran Church, on the other hand, prefer to emphasise how the gospel creates remarkable tensions with culture. Christians are citizens of two kingdoms, God's and the world's, and faithfully fulfilling responsibilities to both realms creates enormous, if not impossible, challenges. Christ and culture stand in a relation of paradox. Reformed traditions have promoted the transformation of culture. According to this viewpoint, the various cultural and social structures in this life can be renewed in Christ. No aspect of reality is alien to the kingdom of God. It all belongs to Him and must be influenced by the gospel through the church as salt that preserves and light that illuminates. In this perspective, grace does not perfect nature, but in fact restores it. Christ is the transformer of culture. And in this situation, that's us. We're reformed. We believe in the transformation of culture. We believe that as a church, when we rise up and fully fulfill what God has placed on our lives, when we live as we're supposed to live, as people who are living in a relevant way to their culture, to their society, then transformation of our entire world can take place. Because Christ does complete it. Christ completes everything. But if Christ hasn't completed you, if you're locked away in your own little world being a weirdo, then you will never ever see transformation take place. You won't see it take place in your life. You won't see it take place in the lives of your friends and family. And you won't see it take place in your community. Or if you do, it won't be through you. So all these people, so many ideas. What's an everyday person supposed to think? What are we supposed to think? Who's right, who's wrong? All these churches, all these different thoughts, all these different positions. How on earth are we supposed to find out what we should believe? We've got the answer right here. It's called the Bible. And in the Bible is the way you are supposed to live. Notice the Bible does not say, wake up at 4:30 a.m., spend an hour in prayer, then in your closet, mind you, with all your smelly shoes. It doesn't say that. It says put God first in your life. God gave us a brain. There's a reason for it. He actually wants us to use it. He wants us to have freedom of choice. That's why Jesus died. If he wanted to revoke freedom of choice, he would have just killed Satan himself. He would have done it all and he would have just let us keep going. We would have become robots. But he didn't want that. He wants us to have freedom of choice. He wants us to know why we believe what we believe and why we live what we live. Should Christians bother with pop culture? Yes, and here's why. Number one, ignoring it won't make it go away. Nothing you ignore changes. You can pretend that everything's fine and dandy, but the fallen world is falling more and more and more every second. things are getting worse and worse and worse. And if we isolate ourselves from it, if we don't make a change, if we don't stand up for righteousness, what will this world become? Ignoring it won't make it go away. Christians have tried to ignore it, using the argument that pop culture has many problems and is not good enough for us to isolate ourselves from it. In the 80s, Christians were known as the boycotters. Now, if you were a Christian in the 80s, you probably don't know that. I wasn't, and I do. Now, Christians were largely known only because of what they didn't do, not what they did. I don't know if you remember all of the things that Christians did back in the 80s that I saw on TV as a totally unsaved person and thought, they're wacko, they're weird. We had Christians picketing outside of this and out of that, and they didn't go to this and they didn't go to that. And I'd ask one of my Christian friends if they wanted to come to a blue light disco, and they weren't allowed to dance, and they weren't allowed to watch TV, and they weren't allowed to go to the movies. They weren't allowed, they weren't allowed, they weren't allowed. And when you asked them why, they actually didn't know. We're just not allowed. Now, there is nothing wrong with setting a standard. But there's something wrong with being known as the boycotters. There's something terribly wrong in a culture of being so set apart, so religious, so hard, that you cannot relate to those around you. That is not God's call for His church. The abuse of something is not adequate reason to stop using it or studying it. Even though Playboy misuses photography, we don't avoid cameras to show respect for women, do we? But we avoid Christian culture like it's a plague that's going to infect us. Just don't abuse it. Use it wisely. If we never question why we do what we do, we never progress. Now, if some people back in the 80s or the, I don't know, 1900s or whatever, didn't start questioning why we do this in the church, we would still be doing this in the church. Why do we sing songs that are culturally relevant? Because we're culturally relevant? Perhaps. Why don't we come into lighted candles and the whole structure and all the form? Why aren't we singing Mass in Latin? Because nobody speaks Latin except priests anymore. They don't understand it. Why don't we wave branches and blood around? Why aren't we slaughtering real cows here? Because it's no longer culturally relevant. Anyway, Jesus did away with the slaughter. But you know, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we lighting candles and turning off all electricity on Friday afternoons? Why aren't we doing that? Because it actually doesn't tell us we have to in the Bible. Jesus came to save us from the law and to bring us through into grace. So now we're in grace and we're responsible for ourselves. There is nowhere in the Bible that says when you come into church, you will see 4 songs, 2 praise, 2 worship, then we'll have an offering message, then we'll have announcements, then we'll have a preach which will last approximately 30 minutes by faith and have 3 scriptures, and then we'll have tea and coffee and then we'll go home. Look in your Bible. Nowhere does it say how to run church. So why do we get so upset when we come in and we do 2 songs and then an offering message? Because we're religious. Mix it up. Have fun with it. Come on. We need to challenge it the right way, why we do what we do. We need to remain holy in what we do. But holiness is not weirdness. It's really not. We should be a church where any person who walks through the door comes in and thinks, I could belong here. They're not going to do that. If everyone's whinging about the fact that we're not doing this or we are doing this or whatever. I want to talk to you a bit about youth. We had youth here Friday night. How many people here? 42 youth. How many do you normally get along to youth in Newcastle? The end of last year, what were you getting? Okay, from 20 to 25 in Newcastle, we've gone to 42 youth. Come on. That's awesome. That's 42 youth who were in here, not out there drinking, drugging, graffitiing, destroying cars, destroying property. 42 youth who were in here getting the power of God, getting the message of God in a relevant way, a way that meant something to them, building great relationships, so that next Friday night they're here, not out there. 42 youth. And our church culture needs to make way for that. Our church culture needs to make sure that when those 42 youth become 42 youth who are in church, that we have open hands, open arms, open hearts for them. It also means that we've got to put up with a little bit of inconvenience. It might mean that we walk in here on Sunday morning and it's messy. And you know what? I'm talking to myself. I am preaching to myself first. We must make way. We've got to be willing to put up with that. Because youth mean more than where the chairs are sitting. Youth mean more than chewing gum on the carpet. Youth mean more than rubbish in the bin. It's a culture thing, guys. It's a culture thing. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart so that when things are a bit different, you're not so rattled that you fall straight into complaining, straight into bitterness and criticalness. No. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because we want to see people under the kingdom of God. We've got to be relevant. I don't want you coming in here and feeling so uncomfortable because they can't have fun. We are going to end up with holes in the walls. Get used to it. When the first one happens, we're going to cheer. And Ben is going to be responsible for fixing all of them. But we're not going to get upset. We're going to cheer because it means that there were youth in the building and they felt like it was somewhere they could call home. Come on, we're going to build a culture of love and acceptance. Something else we're going to see in this building in the next few weeks is a recovery program starting up, and our wonderful Leanne is heading up that. That is going to be awesome. But we're going to see people in every stage of recovery. We're going to see people at the very end of addiction. We're going to see people who are very much in the middle of addiction. We're going to see people who are in the middle of mental health issues, of depression, of all sorts of things. It's not only for addiction, it's for healing of past hurts. But church, the whole purpose of doing these things is to make people whole and get them to a place where they're serving God. Not just, okay, I feel great about me, but I feel great about me so I can minister to you. But we won't see those people in church if we don't open our hearts now, open our culture as a church to them to be relevant, not religious. When they walk in here with thongs or you know, with hair hanging out, apart from Andrew, you know, we're going to embrace them no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they talk like, whether they're having a smoke out the front or not, they're welcome. They're welcome because we're a church that welcomes everybody. It's not up to us to tell people what to do with their life. It's not up to us to tell people to deal with the stuff in their life. That's between God and them. But if we don't make a place where they can come, a place where they feel it is relevant to their lives, we will never see our community change. Our community's not changed by us going to them. Our community's changed by us going to them and bringing them back with us. So let's do it. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, not just the Christian holy bits. Disciples result from relationship. Relationship occurs where there's common ground. No relevance equals no relationship. If we're a church that has no relevance to our culture, if we're a church that is so set apart and so sanctified that we just look like weirdos, we have no opportunity to minister to anyone. God won't bring anyone our way. Full stop. We're called to be salt and light. Salt makes things taste good. Light makes them look good. It's really awful sitting and eating in a dark room when you can't see what you're eating. If you're in a dark room, someone brings you a plate of something, puts it in front of you and you don't know what it is, it's a faith experience. Especially when it's one of the youth. Could be anything. We're not to avoid ungodliness. We're to challenge it and show the world that living holy does not equal living boring. Take a look at what Jesus says in the message again. It says, now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. The challenge, Christian, the challenge as a person who loves God with all your heart is not to be defined by the world. It's to be defined by the Word of God. And when you're defined by the Word of God, you can go into your world and you can make a change. So, three quick things. If you've got notepad, now's time to take notes. How do we incorporate pop culture into our lives without compromising our beliefs? Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 9. Again, I'm reading from the Message Bible. Verse 19, it says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, which religious and non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Three keys this gives us. Number one, I didn't take their way of life. Somehow Paul managed to be very relevant. He managed, in the New King James, it says, I became this to someone, I became this to someone else. Whoever it was, he found a way to be relevant to their situation. If you look in the Bible, everything Jesus did was relevant to the people he spoke to. His parables or his stories to fishermen were about fish. His stories to big groups of people were about what they experienced in their everyday life. He doesn't expect us to use stories from ancient Egypt to win people to Christ. He expects us to take what he's given us and make it relevant. It's no use saying to someone, well, by the blood of Christ, you should just... They just want blood? Christ? What? It makes no sense at all. It's freaky. Be relevant. Even when you're praying for someone, can you imagine how freaky it is to walk and say to someone, can I pray for you? They've just told you they're sick. And you say, okay, I'm taking the blood of Jesus and I'm going to cast out these demons. They're like, I got demons. Be relevant. God, I pray for Maylee. She's not feeling well today. Please make her well in Jesus' name. How non-freaky is that in comparison? We're called to be relevant, not religious. You don't have to stop going to parties, hanging out with people. You just need to make sure that when you go to those things, when you do those things, you are the influencer. And Ben gave you an example. Take a coat to parties so that you're not tempted. Easy as, it just means thinking about it beforehand. But don't suddenly stop hanging around with everybody that you know that doesn't know God. Don't isolate yourself. The Bible says those who isolate themselves are fools. So even if you isolate yourself as a way of being more holy, it actually makes you a fool. A fool is not relevant to those around him. They're just a fool. Number two says, I kept my bearings in Christ. Measure yourself against this. Really, really handy tip for free. Measure yourself against God, against the Word of God, not against others. If you use anything else than God's measuring stick, you will always have pride in the way. Either negative pride where you don't feel good enough about yourself, or positive pride where you think you're better than others. Anytime you think you're better than others, you come across as judgmental. Anytime you don't think you're good enough, other people will influence you. We're called to be influencers. We're called to know what we believe, why we believe it. Let your relationship with Jesus be your barometer. Let that be the one that helps you through each day. If you're not doing well with Jesus, guess what? You're not going to be doing really well in the culture, affecting the culture of this world, affecting your family, affecting your workmates. You're not going to be very good at doing anything at all. Know what you believe and why you believe it. If you went to a party and someone asked you a question, would you be challenged because you actually don't know the answer? If someone said to you, don't you drink, would you be able to give someone an answer to why that is your decision? That wasn't religious and boring and legal? The Bible doesn't say not to drink. It says don't get drunk. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Make sure that what you believe is biblical and not man-made. Because as soon as you are believing in what someone else has thought, you are under the law. You're no longer under grace. As soon as you're under the law, you are affected by every single scary covet. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Lastly, the third point is, I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. Don't try to create a parallel universe. Live in the world. Live in the world. It's not Christian world, the world. It's one world, one big world. Live in the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. Be in the world, but not defined by the world. Be in the world, but know what you believe and become the culture setter. Be in the world, not of the world. Don't judge people. You can't enter into someone's world if you think you're above them. There is no way you can be relevant to someone that you think you're better than. There's no way you can be relevant to someone you think you're not good enough to be in their presence. No way. And see, if your self-worth does not come from the world or from people, if your self-worth comes from God, you can stand in any situation. The Bible talks about people being taken into the presence of kings and queens. So you're a child of the Most High God. You're royalty. Be in the world, not of the world. Be in the world, not of the world. Be compassionate. Be willing to learn. Experience things from everybody else's point of view. And let it enlarge your world, but don't let it influence you. Bring hope. No matter where someone is at, a God-saved life is better. Remember why you're there in the first place. Be in the world, not of the world. Be relevant. Open hands, open heart. We're going to hear it again and again and again. It's who we are. Our culture is that we are a church who loves our community. We are a church who serves our community. We are a church that welcomes every single person who walks through the door. And anything less than that is unacceptable. It is not our culture. We are a church that shows people how to live the good life because we live it ourselves. We're called to be people fully engaged with our world, yet not corrupted by it. Regardless of what we think about popular culture, it's not about what we think, it's about what God says. Regardless of our personal preferences, regardless of our generation, regardless of our upbringing, regardless of what others think or say. Let's learn to work with popular culture and be the salt and light we're called to be. Instead of putting our noses up, putting our guard up and being totally irrelevant to everyone around us. Pop culture, what are we to do with it? Kill it. Influence it. Get out there and make a difference. We are transformers. More than meets the eye. Sorry, couldn't help that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. Can I get the music team up, please? I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that your word is light to us, Lord, that it shows us how to live. And I thank you, Lord, that as I've been speaking, you've been speaking to people's hearts. Father God, where we have not been open and welcoming of others, I ask that you break down every fearful barrier that's there. Father, where we've held ourselves above or isolated ourselves from fear of culture, Father, I ask that you take away all of that right now. I ask, Lord, that you break chains off people's lives, that you set them free. Free to be fully who they are. Lord, happy to be loved by you and to love you and ready to show the world how awesome you are in ways that are relevant. Lord, help us to set the culture. Help us to do what you've called us to do and make disciples in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's finish with a happy song. Oh, the barbecue. Hang on.